for taking the time to hear Senate File 2305 this evening. I know we've all been very busy, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity to testify here before you this evening. I'm going to make my remarks will be rather brief, and then I'm going to turn it over to Kate Watson that'll talk a little bit more detail about the bill. But this bill is needed to keep the development of a 100-megawatt wind farm in my district on track, Mr. Chair. The project is set to begin construction within the next 30 days, but has run into an obstacle in Minnesota law, and that's why the bill has come here rather late this session. The company developing the project is currently owned by a U.S. company, but it is about to be sold to a foreign company. When the transaction closes in late June, the leases that the project company holds with the local farmers will be in conflict with Minnesota's Alien Farm Bill. This bill keeps the construction of the wind farm on track by creating an extremely narrow exemption for the project. It will allow the project company to lease land for the purposes of wind energy production. The bill will not allow the company to own agricultural land, which I think is very important, and will not allow the company to engage in any agricultural activities. The farmers will be able to continue to farm their land, plus receive a steady source of supplemental income from the wind. This helps the landowners keep their family farms, which is the purpose of the corporate farm law. This is an economic development project that is vitally important to my district. It is a $182 million investment in Maurer County. It will provide income to over 90 landowners through lease payments, 150 to 200 union labor construction jobs, 8 to 12 permanent high-wage jobs, local spending during construction, and clean energy for more than 3,000 households in the district. In addition, the local units of government, and I believe you have a handout, including Maurer County, Grand Meadow, Bennington, Clayton, and Marshall Townships, and the Grand Meadow School District wholeheartedly support this project. I've received many phone calls from local farmers in the last few weeks in support of this. They will receive substantial tax revenues from the wind project. With that, Mr. Chair, to further explain the timing and the details of the project, I have with me Kate Watson from Horizon Wind Energy, the project developer and owner. And I would also like to just mention to members that before I came down here, I was a bit late, Mr. Chair, had several phone calls and did actually talk directly with Congressman Dick Gephardt, who is very supportive of this project, and he sends his regards as well. With that, Mr. Chair, I would turn it over to Kate Watson to talk a little bit more about the proposal.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Kate Watson, Development Associate with Horizon Wind Energy. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak here today. As Senator Sparks mentioned, the Prairie Star Wind Farm in Maurer County is set to go into construction within the next month. Getting to this point has been a long process since the day we first started talking to landowners back in the spring of 2001. Over the last 6 years, we have signed lease and easement agreements with landowners, measured the wind resource, obtained rights to interconnect to the electric grid, conducted environmental studies, received permits and approvals, and signed a power purchase agreement with Great River Energy, and secured wind turbines and other equipment. The turbines are on their way to the site, and the project is on schedule to be in operation by the end of the year. On March 27th, Horizon's owner reached an agreement to sell Horizon Wind Energy to a foreign company. Horizon and its portfolio of projects, which includes projects in operation and under development in 15 states, will all be part of that transaction, which is expected to close in late June. In April, as part of the regular due diligence that these transactions conduct, Minnesota Statute 500.221, the Alien Farm Law, was discovered, and the conflict that this statute would prohibit the new owner from leasing land from the farmers to continue development and operation of the project. Immediately, Horizon began exploring options to keep the development of this major project on track, and here we are today. Some have asked why we haven't pursued other options, such as rezoning the land to non-agricultural or restructuring the deal. Rezoning would be a problem because we don't want to take this land out of agricultural production. We want to keep it agricultural land so that the farmers can continue to farm as they always have. Restructuring provides no certainty to us or any of the stakeholders. We don't know what kind of delays this would cause. And, you know, the delays would prevent the landowners and the local governments from receiving the payments that they're planning on receiving at the beginning of next year. It could also add steps to the regulatory process and could subject the project to delays of an unknown duration. Furthermore, at Horizon, we like to conduct our business with integrity and transparency. So we're not interested in finding loopholes to get around the law or creating shadow corporations or anything of that nature. We like to make our intentions clear and transparent. So that's why we are here today, and that's why we have come with this extremely narrow exemption that will exempt only this project for the specific purpose of wind energy production. Of the 16,000-acre area that will host the wind farm, less than 1% of this land will be directly impacted by the turbines, roads, an electrical collection system, and other facilities. This leaves the remaining 99% available for farming or whatever the farmers want to do with their land. The farmers will continue to own the land, and Horizon and its parent will be prohibited from engaging in any agricultural activities. In conclusion, we believe that the project will provide many benefits to the community. It will diversify the farmers' income, and this additional source of revenue can help families keep their farms. Furthermore, the tax revenues will benefit the county, townships, and school district. Thank you very much.
Ms. Watson, how many acres of land?
16,000 approximately, Mr. Chair.
1% is going to actually be used for the wind farm?
Correct.
And why do they need to lease 16,000? Why don't they lease 1 acre?
Well, the project, Mr. Chair, is spread out over these 16,000 acres. And what happens is we talked with the landowners, you know, over the last 6 years and reached these agreements. And we need to have more than one area available because sometimes when you're out in the field and do soil testing and you find you need to move the turbine 20 feet or 50 feet. Things like that come up when you're out in the field, and all the locations are approved by the landowner before construction begins. The other issue is the wind rights easements. We need to be available to have the rights to the wind that goes across the land. So as part of these leases, the farmers can't put up tall structures above a certain height that would block the wind from the wind turbines because we want to make sure that they get all the wind that they can so that the project is as efficient as possible.
Senator Skoy.
Mr. Chair, and maybe to Senate Counsel, what is the property tax rate on wind turbines on ag land? Is that a utility rate or is it an ag rate or what is that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Skoy, some time ago we enacted essentially a production tax on wind energy generators, and that is an optional tax, and I suspect most of the companies are involved in that, where they pay not based on the value of the land, but based on the amount of energy they produce. Before that, there'd been quite a long history of changing rates and exemptions, and that remains in effect for those that don't opt into the production tax.
Okay. Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, and Senator Sparks, we've seen similar bills to this in the Capitol that would make it appropriate or make it authorized for any even foreign corporations to invest in agricultural land in Minnesota. And those were very controversial bills in the Judiciary Committee that I recall. And so I'm wondering, are you intending to take this to the Judiciary Committee, and do you intend to have hearings about those issues on a much broader scale, or are you seeking only an exemption on one thing? And if that's the case, then how do you justify that in light of all the controversy about the rest of the investments in agricultural land in Minnesota?
Mr. Chair and Senator Ortman, I think that you bring up a very good point, and that certainly was not our intention. I think that we've worked with the chair of the Ag Committee. He made it very clear that he wanted this language to be very tight, very descriptive, and that's what we've tried to do. We've worked with Mr. Knopf and other counsel, and certainly the Tax Committee. If you have any suggestions, we would do that. But it's not our intent to open any of that up in any way, shape, or form. It's very specific. It's narrowly focused on Maurer County and just this one wind farm.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Ortman.
Just for the record, I was in favor of those proposals that opened up the ability to invest in Minnesota property. I just think if we start down the road of exemptions, this one may lead to the next one, which makes a very good case, and the next one, which makes a very good case. I'm not opposed to your bill. I think my advice would be that you make sure you have a hearing on this in the Judiciary Committee if you're going to move it forward this year, so that we at least address that and consider the possibility of opening it up to more than just one entity.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Langseth.
Mr. Chair, I think I'm the only one here that was in the legislature when the bill was passed. But this, I don't think in any way goes against the intent of that legislation. I think we did not want agriculture production to come under the control of any foreign companies or people. And this certainly would not do that. I don't, you know, just based upon the arguments that I heard at the time, and I supported the legislation, I just don't see where this goes against that intent at all.
Ms. Watson, in Verizon or its successor is going to lease the land from the existing owner, or what's the relationship?
Mr. Chairman, we have a few relationships. For most of the wind farm world, the turbines will go. We have leases. For the transmission line, for that we have easements in place.
Senator Scoy.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Senator Langseth's point, you know, I think perhaps you might be right, but, you know, we deal with these exemptions for our stuff all the time. And I tend to agree with Senator Ortman on this, that if this is truly not the case, perhaps it should go to the, you know, I hear the ag chair is, you know, not concerned because it's real narrow, but I'm concerned because of you're going to see the next one and the next one, and then pretty soon you're going to have basically an exemption without ever having gone through the hearing process and running it through the Judiciary Committee. And perhaps it should just be, you know, this is our policy, that we're not going to have these wind farms, you know, subject to the law. But I'm a little hesitant to just go down the exemption route, where we'll do one now and then it'll be Grant County and then it'll be another county, and pretty soon there'll be, you know, 15 of them. That would be my concern.
Anything else, members? Thank you, Ms. Watson. Senator Sparks, do you have anybody else that would like to testify on the bill?
Mr. Chair, no, that's the end of my testimony.
Bob Ambrose, Senator Moore.
Mr. Chair and Senator Sparks, is this bill being considered or being given a hearing because it's being considered somewhere? Or what's the intent here? Because what I heard is that it was not going to get voted on today.
Mr. Chair and Senator Moore, I believe the intent, and certainly the chair can help me out, was to have an informational hearing today. Like I said, I apologize. I think that under perfect circumstances, the bill would have came to us much sooner, so we could have been through the Ag Committee and certainly your committee. An amendment was offered in the House. It was defeated, I think, on a 63-67 vote. But I think the chair just wanted to have this informational hearing just to see what the tax committee thought of this provision.
I think, Senator Watt, to that point, I think this may turn up in a House file someplace coming over here, and I think it's important for members of this committee at least to have to know something about it so that we're not just flying by the seat of our pants on the floor of the Senate at some point here. It's kind of what I was thinking.
Well, Mr. Chair, you know, many of us and some of us policy chairs have had to do these type of hearings on late bills, not because we're hostile to it, but because we want to accommodate in certain positions in certain conference committees. And so if this provision is being negotiated somewhere in some conference committee somewhere, I think that, but it certainly sounds to me like Senator Sparks says that that's not the case. But I, you know, I do have some concerns. I understand the nature of how, you know, this is putting this company in a difficult position, and it is looking to get addressed. But, you know, I'm glad that we've had a chance to hear the context and the circumstance. But I do have some concerns that, you know, this is pretty controversial. And I hope that the fact that it's had a hearing, Mr. Chair, with no voting, doesn't somehow default into establishing a Senate position on this issue.
Mr. Chair, and not hearing it on the floor all of a sudden as a House file.
Well, that I mean, that's out of our control. I think that's part of what this is about. I mean, clearly there's some interest in the House in pursuing this. They've already had one floor vote on it. So, I mean, I think members of this committee at least need to understand what the project is and what the issues around it are, because it may be totally out of our control whether we consider it or not. Senator Johnson.
Then, Mr. Chairman, maybe we should move it to judiciary.
Mr. Chairman, I think that's a good point.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the witness, I'm sorry, I apologize for not catching your name. You talked in your testimony about not being able to restructure. And could you give me a little more detail about why that would not be an option for this project?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Skoy, as I indicated, we don't want to be setting up shadow companies that are trying to, you know, hide behind this law. We want to be upfront and not try to avert the law. And the other major issue with restructuring is timing, because this project is ready to go and it needs to be online before the end of the year so that it can provide the benefits to the community, to the landowners and the tax beneficiaries, as well as provide the energy needed for Great River Energy, both, you know, as a part of their energy supply and as part of their obligation to meet the renewable energy standard. So any sort of restructuring would take time, and we don't know what kind of delays that would cause, and it would be harmful to a lot of the stakeholders.
Senator Moy.
Well, then, what would be, Mr. Chair, what would be the impact if we didn't get this legislation? What is your alternative if this bill did not succeed becoming law?
Mr. Chair and Senator Mua, we don't really know at this point. We've been talking with a lot of people and trying to find a good alternative, and it's really unclear at this point what would happen.
Senator Ortman.
Well, I appreciate the fact when you tell us that you don't want to create entities that are meaningless in your words or to paraphrase what you've said. But when you form a Minnesota corporation, then you are subject to our laws. You agree to be subject to our laws. You're subject to our taxation. And so we can keep an eye on the entity. And so I'm not necessarily convinced that it's a bad thing for you to structure yourself as a Minnesota corporation. And I think that's available as an alternative here. One of the concerns I have is that if corporations that have the ability to hire lobbyists and spokespeople here get a chance to get exemptions, what about the smaller farmers or the individual investors that might like to come and start a farm here, and we're precluding them because they don't have the resources to come to the legislature with a lobbyist or a spokesperson and ask for an exemption? And so I think we should be cautious about this, and I would hope that we would move this to the Judiciary Committee and take time on this bill.
Mr. Chair, if the wish of the members is that this goes to the Judiciary Committee so it could get some substantive work on it, we have 3 days left. I'm on the Tax Conference Committee, Mr. Chair, and I know that we have a lot of work to do. I do not want to put Senator Spark or the advocates in this issue in a position to think that the Judiciary Committee is going to be able to engage in the substantive amount of work that it needs to get this bill back to the floor in some shape. So if, you know, members of this committee wants to engage in some discussion, I think this is the time, and the time is now. But to think that this will go to the Judiciary Committee and somehow some other work will get done, I have to say, maybe next session, but not in the next 3 or 4 days. And I understand that timing is the issue here for them. So,
Mr. Chair. The chair of agriculture thought maybe the bill should also come to him. So I think your observation is probably correct. That sending it along its way, somehow leading people to believe it's going to happen this year, is probably not very fair. Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair, that was my intent. It was not that you reconvene the Judiciary Committee this year. I think this bill needs a lot more work than we can possibly give it in the next few days through the Ag Committee and the Judiciary Committee. And I do think there are alternatives here if you don't prevail. I think the alternative is you set up a Minnesota corporation.
Well,
Ms. Watson.
Mr. Chair and Senator Ortman, I do want to be clear that the way the law is written is such that it all goes back to the parent company, and the leases that we have are actually with the Wind Farm Project Company, which is a U.S. company, and it's a subsidiary of Horizon Wind Energy, which is also a U.S. company, which will soon be a subsidiary of this foreign company. So, unfortunately, I'm not aware of any restructuring options of that nature that would be able to work because of the way that the law is written.
Mr. Chair, and again, I appreciate you giving the opportunity. Again, I apologize that the bill is late, and I would agree with you. I think this is very important, and that's why at the majority leader's advice, we did introduce a bill. We didn't have it offered as an amendment because I think this is very important. And obviously, I understand what Senator Johnson and some of the other members are taking, but I think that that's kind of what we're here today to discuss a little bit more. I know there are other people who want to testify, Mr. Chair, and I know that you'd like to keep it brief, but I believe that Great River Energy would like to speak a little bit to the bill, and we'll ask them to keep their remarks small. Wind on the Wires, and I know that the Minnesota Farmers Union for sure would like to weigh in on this issue as well.
Let's hear some of the additional testimony. Who'd like to be first? Watson, did you sign our sign-in sheet so that we know you were here?
I got you.
I want Senator Skoy to remember what your name was.
I don't have the best of memories, so it's good.
Could be that we're going to remember this was the Watson provision.
Mr. Chair, I'm Bob Ambrose with Great River Energy. And I would just like to state that as Ms. Watson indicated, this is a project that's been in development for a number of years. It's a project that we would very much like to add as a resource on our system. We were active supporters of the 25 by 25 renewable energy standard this year. I think helped to bring in some of the other co-ops as supporters of that legislation. We're planning on this 100 megawatts of wind being on our system by the end of this year. And we would really like the project to go forward. It would be extremely helpful to us in keeping ahead of the curve that we're looking at, which is a very ambitious goal of having 25% renewables by 2025. We also see it as frankly, another income stream for farmers, and that would be part of the project. And helpful to those farm families in Maher County. That's essentially it, Mr. Chair, unless there are questions.
Senator Skoy.
Thank you. Does Great River own any wind generation? I'm not a wind expert by any stretch. Do you own any of these yourself? Do you also buy power from individual tower owners? Can you just give me a little background about what some of the ownership that you would be procuring with regard to wind?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. The way the incentives are structured for an entity such as ourselves, which is which has no tax liability, the benefits of the federal production tax credit can really only be reaped by an entity other than an electric co-op. So we do not own any wind projects ourselves. We do have power purchase agreements with a variety of owners. The largest project is the Trimont Wind Farm, 100 megawatts also, somewhat different structure, but also involving, I think, nearly 50 farm families. We started in the wind in our wind ventures in the late 90s, perhaps even mid 90s. My memory's failing a little bit, but we started with a voluntary wind subscription program, and that was put up our first turbines in Chandler, Minnesota, far southwest. Essentially signed up individuals who were interested in paying a premium to ensure that this wind energy was put online. This was a voluntary effort responding to our customer members that was in place before there were any mandates or even objectives in place for the state. We gradually added more wind turbines under that program, and over time the differential has been reduced. And so now we are very much interested in adding wind in bigger chunks or smaller chunks. You know, it's going to take a lot of different structures for us and the other utilities of Minnesota to meet the standard.
Any other questions of Mr. Ambrose, members? Thank you.
Thank you.
Sure, thanks.
Who's next?
Mr. Chair and members, my name is Beth Soholt. I'm with Wind on the Wires. We work primarily on wind and transmission line issues. For full disclosure, Horizon is one of our members, but I think it's important for the committee members to understand a little bit of the context of how much renewable energy utilities have to purchase under the recently signed legislation this year under the Renewable Electricity Standard. The utilities, as Mr. Ambrose testified, have quite aggressive but doable obligations under the Renewable Electricity Standard to meet by 2025. They have quite a bit of wind to acquire, somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 to 6,000 new megawatts of wind in total in Minnesota for Minnesota utilities. It's going to require that we have lots and lots and lots of different kind of companies participating in putting up wind projects and investing in Minnesota, giving money to our rural landowners and partnering with them in a variety of ways. I think that from my conversations with Horizon, I don't think Horizon or its successor have any interest in becoming a farmer in Minnesota. But they do have specific things they need to be able to do their projects. And I think one of the most important facts for the committee to understand is that the 5,000 or 6,000 new megawatts of wind that we're going to have in Minnesota to meet the RES is going to require an enormous amount of capital, both from the banks in Minnesota and from outside of Minnesota. We're talking in the neighborhood of $10 to $20 billion. That's a billion with a B. Worth of investment coming into Minnesota. That means we need community energy projects, we need hybrids of community and traditional projects, and we need traditional projects. All of these are going to be good for Minnesota. And I think what I sense is a couple members of the committee have a keen interest in seeing community energy projects develop and seeing local landowners benefit from the projects. There are different levels of benefit from different models of projects, but they are all beneficial, and they will help the utilities meet their requirement under law in Minnesota. There is a bill that's we're hoping very much will get through this year that has a lot of good community-based energy development provisions, and that will really give CBED, as it's known, some good pieces to work on. But just to reiterate, we are going to need lots of different companies coming into Minnesota with their capital, being willing to invest in Minnesota if the state's actually going to achieve its renewable electricity standard. And so I think that's why we do need projects like Horizon, and we do need to consider what we need to do in law for to help those projects come to fruition. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions, members? Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Peterson, did you know that in the Senate, there's kind of an unwritten rule that members of the other body cannot testify in committee? But I don't believe it applies to former members of the other body, but I didn't know that till I got here.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I did. Years of experience of the House, I did, you know, just to say that there was a rule break, and I was invited over to testify on a bill that I had introduced, and the senator of quite knowledgeable experience knew nothing about my bill. And I did testify. This was in 2000, I think. So wow. 12 years of history there, Mr. Chairman. So anyway, good to be here.
Welcome to the committee.
And for the committee, I'm Doug Peterson. I'm president of the Minnesota Farmers Union, and I want to say it for the record that we certainly appreciate Senator Sparks for trying to make the legislation as narrow as possible. However, we have huge questions about the unintended consequences of opening the corporate farm bill on a narrow exemption. I believe the project is good. However, the process is bad. It comes to you late. Our policy is adopted by our members each year at our annual convention, and actually from Minnesota Farmers Union policy supports strengthening the corporate farm bill and not providing a cutout, so to speak, or an exemption for a specific project. And I believe, Senator Ortman, you do speak wisely about the consequences of the bill and further exemptions if they continue to move down the road year after year after year. When do you quit? To my knowledge and to our knowledge at Farmers Union, we know of no other exemption for specific problems anywhere like this in the law. We are concerned, like I said before, about setting a precedence with this legislation as it enters. And I think a lot of people understand there is a gold rush to wind economies in rural Minnesota. And I think one of the previous testifiers said that there's going to be a lot more need for a lot more power coming to the state of Minnesota to meet that demand. And I don't know all of the law, but I know that there would be other foreign companies that may want to invest in leases. And that's the kind of unintended consequences that we may have. Now, I'd like to have counsel tell me that, but I can't ask that because I'm not on the committee, Senator. However, those are the questions that I have. And this gold rush is really about economy, but the foreign ownership piece is quite concerning. And this also an exemption. It is going to help out Goldman Sachs. It's a large multinational corporation. And in my experience, since I've left the legislature dealing with businesses, we do due diligence. When we acquire companies or we start a co-op or that, we have our attorneys and staff cross the T's and dot the I's. And this was not done. And I don't think it's fair that farmers should take the hit for the lack of due diligence on this piece of legislation. I know mistakes can be made, but to set a precedence based on that is tough. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to turn the rest of the time that I have over to our lobbyist, Tom Peterson, who has been around the Capitol.
Mr. Chairman, members, I'll just be very brief, and I just want to add a couple of things to what
Mr. Peterson?
Doug said. Yeah, thank you. And again, too, I'm Tom Peterson. It's a S-O-N, not a S-E-N. So I'm an S-E-N. He's an S-O-N. So I just wanted to make that clear. But anyways.
It's not harder than the egg. Yeah. It'll go just fine.
Okay, all right.
We don't bite here in the tax committee.
Mr. Chairman, anyways, controversy
Mr. Wallace,
in the tax committee.
But just to reiterate that that we felt like this is agricultural policy, too, that this is the corporate farm law. who enforces the corporate farm law in Minnesota is the Department of Agriculture. You're getting this bill introduced was yesterday or a day before, and the Department of Agriculture, I don't even think they're in the room here. I don't even think they know about this hearing. And so I've called them to ask them about this project, and they know a little bit about it, and I thought that was kind of interesting. So just asking you to take consideration that that this we're concerned about the speed that this is moving, and as Doug said, the unintended consequences. And we have visited with some of our farmers in this in Maurer County, and they're concerned about this too. They're concerned about just the precedent it's setting, and so we urge your consideration in taking time and slowing down this legislation a little bit and following the process. Again, this did get defeated on the House floor last Friday night by a vote, and what we did here is we changed a few words. I think we put in the word tax a few times and sent it to this committee, and I think that it needs to look be a judiciary or agriculture, and urge your consideration. So thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. I think we need a large policy discussion on this in the A committee, in the Judiciary Committee. I just don't think it's ready this year.
Senator Sparks, do you know, was there a previous bill that in the title didn't start with relating to real property? I'd be interested in knowing that. Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, a question from the last witness for Senate Counsel. When I was reading the point about the pension taxes in here, it says such large wind energy conversion systems must pay taxes in accordance with wind energy production taxes defined section 272.029. If that wasn't in there, would they be required to pay that tax anyway?
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, Senator Marty, I believe that the application of the production tax is optional, and I can double check in some instances if that option isn't exercised, the company would be paying the property tax on this property. I have to admit right now I'm not remembering exactly at what level that option is exercised. I can check on that and let you know.
Peterson, thank you. Senator Dibble.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just simply interpreting this language descriptive, specific as possible. Senator Sparks had indicated earlier so that the exception can be narrowly construed to this specific and precise project. I don't think it's establishing a new policy for this particular new obligation or a different kind of an obligation for this particular project.
Anything else, members?
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Senator Scoy.
Mr. Chair, could Ms. Watson come back? The testimony has, we've talked now about this coming real quick and the process and go to ag and judiciary. I mean, When did this, I know the project you said started in 01. When was the sale started? And, I understand your attorneys were doing their work and this issue came up. And is this truly some issue that just resolved, appeared in the last week or so? And, could we have a little information on that so we could think about that as it into the session goes along here?
Watson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scoy, the issue came up during the due diligence process in April, and we quickly reacted to explore all of our potential options, and it seemed to us that the most upfront way to deal with this and the way that it would be resolved in time for the project to continue on schedule was to come here to the legislature with this narrow exemption.
And so, Mr. Chair, Ms. Watson, you found out about this in April, and then you started exploring your options, and in May, you brought this forward to us. Thank you.
Senator Senator Sparks, I am sympathetic to the situation that you find yourself in your district. I know how hard it is to see, how hard it is to do economic development in rural areas. Does anybody else want to testify on the bill?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Marty.
When we are done with this, if it's not going anywhere from here, I would like to move that it be referred without recommendation to Ag Committee. I don't know if they'll take it up this year, but obviously it's not being taken up out of here. Right. So I'd like to move it without recommendation to Ag, because I think that's, frankly, the first place it should go. But
Committee, what do you think?
Made a motion.
I think Senator Vickerman would like to see it. I guess it doesn't matter if it resides here until next session or if it resides over in the Ag Committee. It doesn't make much difference where the bill's sitting, I guess.
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Ortman.
I think that we have heard it. We should take an action. I do think the committee should send it where it belongs for further hearing, whether we support it or not. And so I support Senator Marty's amendment to move it to the Agricultural Committee. So we're sending the message that the Ag Committee needs to hear it, but we are not making a recommendation at this time. I think that's the appropriate motion, and I support that.
Senator Moy, what would you think about sending this bill to the Ag Committee without recommendation?
I thought that was the appropriate committee to have referred this bill to begin with, Mr. Chair. I've had a couple experiences, Mr. Chair, where we've given hearings and suddenly it's become a Senate position, and it puts the authors as well as the conferees in a difficult position to have to take that position. So if the I think.
Well, somebody might construe passing it out of here as it having some kind of a vote in the Senate someplace.
Without recommendation.
We wouldn't want anybody to think that.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Ortman.
In the alternative, we could vote against the bill, and I don't really want to do that either. I think sending it without recommendation again to the Agricultural Committee is the right thing to do.
I have always resisted sending things out of here without recommendation. Policy committees do that all the time, just kind of move things along.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think in this case it should be heard by agriculture. And so I think this is a little different situation. I think it should just be over there where the agriculture committee can do whatever they want the rest of this session or next session. So I think that's really where it belongs.
How about if I communicated to Senator, if we send it over there, I communicated to Senator Vickerman that when he's done with it or the judiciary is done with it, whatever happens, that the last committee is the tax committee, and it come back here, and we talk about whether it should be on the property tax or the wind production tax. I think Senator Marty had a good question about that maybe something this committee should consider. So maybe if we sent it out without recommendation with the understanding that before it went to the floor, it would come back here so we could talk about the tax provisions. How would members feel about that? Senator Sparks?
Just trying to get you more money, Mr. Chair. Actually, I appreciate you hearing it. Obviously, it's late, and it's tough. You know, my grandpa's been a longtime member of the Farmers Union. There's not very many times that I bring bills forward that they don't like. Obviously, I think this bill maybe does need a little bit more work, but whatever the tax committee wants to do is fine with me.
Good answer.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Moy.
Frankly, I think that Senator Sparks, you know, may be trying to avoid the Judiciary Committee for some reason, unknown to me.
I suspect Senator Sparks has looked at the Senate rules pretty thoroughly, and I think he's aware that the Judiciary Committee and the Agricultural Committee are subject to the committee deadlines in the rules, and the tax committee is not subject to committee deadlines. So this is really the only committee that can move it along and do anything with it without having to go through rules in the process. So I think Senator Sparks has done his homework, and really to get this issue in front of the legislature, this is probably the committee that needed to consider it first, if anything, because of the deadlines that we face. So, sir, Parks, congratulations for your good intuition about the Senate rules. Senator Langseth, anything further?
Mr. Chair, I was just thinking about that deal you got going up in Iron Range. That's an Indian company, and they're going to be digging all that stuff out of the ground. And I don't know, is that a national security deal? Or
I think we have an exemption for mining.
Uh-oh.
Oh. Uh-oh. Sure. Where would that be? Council, where's the mining exemption? Line 2.3. Mining. Council, could you read it for us?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, there is an exemption from the application of this law. It begins at the top of page 2 to lands that are used in connection with, on line 2, timber and forestry products, and on line 3, mining and mineral processing operations.
Thank you, Council. Senator Langseth? Answer your question.
Yeah, but, you know, I think the whole purpose of that law, and I was there hearing all the arguments, we didn't want foreigners to own farmland, you know, and this doesn't do that. And I just, when it came to all the arguments for passing the law, I don't think anybody was concerned about this type of a situation.
Senator Johnson, anything more?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to take a vote on Senator Marty's motion.
You in a hurry to leave? We do better work when we're thoughtful.
Mr. Chair, I think we need to get this in ag.
We want it to pass? Senator Dibble, do we want this motion to pass?
Well, Mr. Chair, I suspect wherever it goes, we're going to see this thing pop up somewhere. But I think the Ag Committee is probably a reasonable place to have a thoughtful discussion about the farm.
Senator Dibble, any farms in your district?
the plots of land that are tilled for various purposes.
Senator Marty, any farms? Any farms in your district?
Mr. Chairman, not anymore, but I used to have the Gibbs Farm Museum and the University Ag Campus. So.
Senator Moi?
Starting a lot of square foot potato.
Okay. Sure, I do have
projects.
An agricultural interpretive area. Kids can come and learn about
it. Senator Scott, is that the right, did Senator Moi have the right verbiage there? Square foot?
Senator Moi did very well with her verbiage on the square foot potato farms.
I haven't started mine yet, but
it's getting close.
Next week.
Mm-hmm.
Getting close, folks.
Mr. Chairman, a little note.
Senator Johnson.
Senator Alan Anderson grew wheat for her sons a couple years ago in her front yard.
We have, Mr. Chair, a number of farmers' markets in my district.
Senator Stephen, what do you have in your district? Farms?
Mr. Chair, I have quite a few farms, yes, including I know of at least 3 or 4 Century farms that are in Denmark Township, Rural Cottage Grove, Hastings.
Family owned?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Senator Larson, farms?
One. I have one farm, Mr. Chair. And it just occurred to me as we've been discussing this bill that the Grimmagians will never be able to own it.
I suspect we're going to be talking about them more this session.
And I think they want to own it, Mr. Chair.
Senator Ortman, you have farms?
11 townships, Mr. Chair. Many, many farms.
Townships will be happy with the tax bill because there's township aid. It was taken away from them in 2001.
It was hard to resist, Mr. Chair.
Senator Langseth has farms. I have a dairy farm. There aren't many dairy farms left. I had 3 when I got elected. I think we're down to 1, so that I'm aware of.
Mr. Chair, that's exactly why some of the farmers want to see new investment in farms, regardless of where that investment comes from, if people are willing to actually farm the land.
Did we ever do the Dutch farmer?
That's the bill we're talking about now. That we had that proposal in the Judiciary Committee. couple of years ago.
That Senator Dills?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seems to me that was around for a while. Did we ever get it done for him?
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Senator Scott?
I was reading these exemptions, and I was pondering the same question, and I was thinking that this was the provision about the non-immigrant treaty investment visa, and then down to Clause 2, where they become permanent resident alien or a citizen. And I think that is the part, Dutch and farm. I think it's here.
I think that's the Dutch farm, sir.
Yes.
Line, starting on line 2.16. And it took a number of years.
I will ask Senator Dill about that.
Way, you think that's the Dutch farmer?
I think it is. And, Mr. Chair, I wonder if Senator Siebens shouldn't inform the committee as to what a century farm is, and then ask Senator Langseth if he's quite there yet.
Senator Siebens, what's a, for us loggers, what's a century farm?
It's in the family.
I don't, Mr. Chair, I don't know if Senator Skoy is trying to embarrass me, but I do know what it's a farm that's been in the particular family for more than 100 years, and you know, these family farms are trying to hold on in our area because there's such pressure to sell for development purchases, and in many cases, some of the families want to sell too because they can get such, their land is worth so much money in suburban areas or increasingly suburban areas instead of rural areas.
Senator Langseth, in what year will your farm be a century farm?
Mr. Chair, it depends on how they figure it. In 1904, my great grandfather on my mother's side bought land from the railroad. It was this large land grant. And then in the teens, I think it was bought by my grandfather on my dad's side. It's been in that family ever since. Well, I've had it for like 50 years almost. So it's been on two sides of the family, and I've been thinking about finding out if that qualifies for a century farm or not, being it went between two families, but I'm the result of those two families. So.
Senator Sparks, do you understand what's happening here? There's a whole bunch of lobbyists out there that got a new contract and they're being paid by the hour. We're just trying to help people make a buck here. as long as people are missing supper. Not home with their families. Anything else, members? Who made the motion? Senator Marty made the motion that Senate file 23